Check. Yeah. I'm ready when you are.
Check.
I mean, what are we checking? There's no one checking.
I'm looking at levels.
I'm
just looking. They all look similar to me.
It's that obvious what's going on with the levels? Damn, I'm loud.
I would like to think I'm friends with Dana White. I think I'm I think it's one of those cases where you have a best friend, but you're not their best friend.
Well, you didn't even say friends, though. You just said people you know. And you definitely know Dana White.
True.
You definitely know Conor McGregor.
But listen, here's
the
thing.
Let's go, doggy.
You guys are just that cool. You're that cool. I got Caleb and Roan. If you know Barstool, you know them, obviously. If you don't know Barstool, they work with me here. The Caleb's got Thinker. Roan's got the Fantasy Football Pod. They both have the Travel Show, the Storm Chasers. You guys have done pretty much everything together. And this is a long time coming because when I started My Mom's Basement, Caleb said to me, yo, when are we going to come on the pod? I think you said it because you were trying to make the chicks in the office a little jealous.
No, dude.
I think that's what was going on, but it became a real thing.
Dude, but some people meet their spouse trying to make someone jealous. You know what
I
mean?
That's the plot of 90% of rom-coms. It's date this chick because you made a bet with your buddy that you get with her. Then you fall in love with her. Right. Then you got to break the news to
her. You
got to
tell her that it's a bet.
It's a whole thing. She breaks up with you. Then you do some kind of
drastic
thing to get her back.
Chicks in the office are like the douchey jock quarterback that we're trying to make jealous. And you're like the cool ass chick that chills in the mom's basement, or a cool ass dude that's just chilling in his mom's basement, and we're gonna wind up with you at the end of this rom-com. I feel it.
Listen, yeah. I'm very happy to hear that. I was on Chicks in the Office yesterday on the radio show.
What? And we can't get a fucking call.
Well, they were very worried that I would be stealing you guys from them, and I reassured them that it would happen. I said it's gonna happen.
The crazy thing about this relationship too is that we've already told you it's a bet. So
in the end
of the movie, you're like a cool chick. So at the end of the movie, there's going to be no crisis resolution. It's just going to be we're just going to be fucking.
It's just going to be all chaos.
It's all above board.
But it became a real thing. And then I would tell you guys all the time, we need a topic. Let's think of a topic for the three of us to get together and talk about.
Yeah.
I eventually tweeted over the last weekend, I thought that being a spy is the coolest job in the world. Because I was watching Kingsman. I don't know if you guys seen
that movie? Disagree strong, but go ahead.
All right. Well, I was watching Kingsman. I said spy is the coolest job in the world. I tweeted it. And as soon as I tweeted that, I thought that's a Caleb and Roan topic. I was like, because they're the coolest people I know. They got the craziest brains I know where they're thinking outside the box exclusively. So I have to have you guys in. Before we get to that, though, I want to ask you guys, two coolest people I know in the basement.
I feel like you're setting us up with the cool thing.
I'm going to dump some ice water on it or something.
Yeah. Cool.
You're so cool that we decided.
What do you guys geek out about? What in your life would you say, I'm a nerd about that?
Great question. Tons of shit, though. And I think that being a nerd is nerding out about stuff is the secret to living a long time. I dead ass think that. I think that if you have things that you can nerd out about and lose yourself in and just dump all your time and your energy into, it's that is going to keep your brain active. It's going to keep you young. It's going to keep you occupied. It's going to keep your stress levels regulated. I think that it's the healthiest thing to nerd out about. So I nerd out about the 76ers, Philadelphia 76ers, the Philadelphia Eagles, battle rap. Very heavily, and I'm trying to think of other things that I just know the ins and outs and nuances, NFL draft, NBA draft, that kind of shit. Most people who like sports are super nerdy, though.
Especially about drafts and stuff like that.
Yeah, when people start talking about salary caps, what are you talking about, man?
It's so nerdy, but I think sports fans have this conception that you guys are all the nerds.
Totally. Yeah.
And we're the cool guys. It's bro, take a look in the mirror.
What's his ERA?
It's called
his ERA?
Fantasy football.
I think that a lot of people who don't watch sports do not see it that way. I think that a lot of people who don't watch sports think that sports fans are super lame.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a vanilla, you watch the game and that's it.
It's the most basic, they're these guys have the most basic hobby, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I feel that way, but I'm saying I think that
these
is
Neanderthals.
Yeah.
go root for this.
Wearing jerseys of other guys.
Just because you're born there. Football for you is something you probably geeked out about a lot, in terms of playing, growing up and shit.
Definitely growing up, definitely until I quit playing, I was pretty much the only thing I geeked out about almost exclusively was football. And I was the biggest geek.
Post-retirement?
Oh, man, that's tougher for me.
Can we keep it on the football for a second? Because
yeah.
I want to know how you geeked out about it. What does that mean? You just
study plays and stuff?
Is that,
yeah.
I watched every game. I was a big college fan for some reason. I'm from North Carolina, so we don't really have, we do have the Panthers, but it's a relatively new team. So, like, you don't have, you don't grow up with, like, your parents were Panthers fans and their parents' parents were Panthers fans. So it's not, like, ingrained in you. So, like, we watched the Panthers, it would be the team, but I was, like, very much into the Tennessee Volunteers where my dad went, and then just, like, all of SEC college football. And then I was playing myself, so I wanted to, like, know everything that was going on. During the summer, I went to all the summer camps for football. I went to Clemson, Florida, every
were
school.
Were you always awesome?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that was the case at all.
I would assume, like, getting to college and getting to, like, play, like, your second string.
But maybe you nerded your way into being
That's
good
what I mean.
At,
like,
I always kind of thought of myself, and it's always perspective. Like, if you look at it from, like, a guy who was, like, a five-star recruit or something where everyone in the nation knows he's awesome. It's just what
you
level,
like,
you're looking
best,
at it
the
from.
The best player in your town as a kid?
No.
Oh, wow.
I've always thought of myself as, like, an underdog who worked his way into a good situation.
Yeah, you geeked your way into it.
I really
did. You watched enough film. You watched enough tapes. You practiced enough.
Practiced ad nauseum just because I wanted to do it so bad. You wouldn't believe how bad. And that's how I always thought about it. I never at one point in my entire life have thought of myself as a great athlete. Or that's why in Barstool now, if people are like, they start throwing around like, let's do some athletics, I never try to throw my hat
that's
in the
true,
ring, because I never have thought of myself as that when I was trying my hardest. So now that I'm not doing anything athletic, I know that, like, that's not where, that's not a world I want to be in, because I'm going to let people down.
But you are still, like, a better athlete than, like, all the other people in here. But I understand
yeah,
that not
here.
Right.
You probably could still throw that
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, probably for here, yeah.
But it's probably not
but
for
you
the
got,
best.
You got nothing post-football that you could think, I get crazy passionate about this?
I read a lot. I'm a big book guy. People
you're
probably don't know
nerdy,
that.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I guess the genuine nerd thing.
And also body – I mean, like, you read – the types of stuff you read to me is, like, you kind of nerd out about, like, bettering your mind or bettering your body. You kind of, like, are reading a lot about what new diets are out or, like, what
diets,
people think.
Diets one.
Didn't you major in, like, philosophy?
Religion. I did religion. I was heavy into religion during college.
Interesting.
I've nerded out, dude. I've nerded out. Right now, I'm trying to think what I'm nerding out about. I mean, it's be books. It'll be I'm reading right now. But that's, you know, it's just like
it's
different
stuff.
It's the
most stuff. Genuine. It's like what do they call it? Freebasing. You're freebasing nerdom.
Yeah.
That's that raw shit.
Yeah.
That's
as uncut
raw as
nerd as and pictures in the books.
And I love listening to music, too. And I know everyone does, and that's the most bland thing to say. But every week, I've been doing a playlist that has, like, no one listens to it. Like
the 10 Ticklers.
The 10 Ticklers. But, like, it has, like, no followers. No one listens to it. But I listen to probably.
I follow it.
You guys do, probably because you're my boys, but there's probably like 3,000 followers total, and I'm listening to probably, I would guess, around 4 to 5 hours a week of new music.
That's pretty nerdy.
Crazy.
That's
of
pretty
every
nerdy.
Since, that's
of
very
new
nerdy.
New music?
Of new music.
New music I always go back and forth on because I always want to listen to more new music than I
but
do.
But it sucks.
But I always want, yeah, I always
it
want
sucks.
Just like going back to the stuff that I love.
Dude, I listen to probably, honestly, 250 to 300 songs a week. That just came out that past week, and I have a hard time getting 10 for the 10 Ticklers.
Where do you find them? Do you just go to Spotify's
run down
playlists and shit?
Because Spotify does a lot of playlists now where based on songs that came out in the past week, whether it's, you know, the main one is New Music Friday, because that's their top 100 songs, but then you can go into, like, all the new indie releases, all the new rap releases, and then you just go down them. But yeah, with 300 songs, I have a hard time finding 10 good ones.
Well, start checking that out, obviously. It's on Spotify. You can get it. I want to make more playlists and stuff like that, but I fucked up in that. I made my Spotify account through my Facebook, and then I deactivated my Facebook, and now my Spotify username's like 1003.
That's what mine is, too.
It's horrible.
I don't even know how to change it.
I don't know how to change it.
You got
to
figure this out. But even the good thing about Caleb's the way that he listens to music, like listening to 4 hours of music, a new music a week is insane. But it's also even more insane to do that and not get pretentious about your music taste or what music you like. And I look at like the Pitchfork lists or like Genius's lists of like when they rank the rappers or whatever. And it's like how pretentious are you to – I mean, and I know we do some listing on this show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to just be like these are the 100 – these are the 200 best albums of this time.
I never
like
use
the
that
best
word. I never use the best word. It's always like
– favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite. You got to say favorite.
And yeah, you have – because if you're like, this is so much better than this, like, Caleb, you've earned the right to that by nerding out so hard. You've earned the right of listening to all this, but like not going down that road of like saying like, oh, because I listen to more than you, I know more than you about music, or my taste is better than yours. And so that's like, to me, when you're nerding out about anything, that's the best way to go about it. Because then it's like some people nerd out for the superiority and the exclusivity that they get from it. And some people just genuinely like it. But some people are like, oh, you don't know about this new Avengers shit or whatever. Like you haven't you think that album's really better than this album or whatever. It's like they use it as a means of condescension, and that's obviously not what you're doing.
The worst. I mean, yeah, I honestly, I was thinking about this morning because I'm listening right now. I'm listening to like new music and it's all sucks. And right now I have that comes out on Thursdays, and right now I have three songs that I like. I've already listened to 200, and I'm like, man, I still like doing this. And I was like, yeah, that makes you a nerd. It's like, totally. I was like, this doesn't bother me at all. And I know no one's going to listen to it, but it's,
you're
I like
doing
I'm enjoying
it for yourself.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, I'm doing this for myself in a weird way. Yeah.
Who are like your favorite artists that you found through doing this that you're like, they're awesome, that
number
you could throw out
two,
recommendations right away?
Two, right off the top of my head. One of them's more popular than the other. Doja Cat, I found through doing this, and she is incredible rapper. And then the other one who is very new, her name is Remy Wolf, R-E-M-I, Wolf. And she is going to be huge.
Wolf, like a W-O-L-F, right? R-E-M-I-W-O-L-F.
Yeah, but she...
You put me on one of her songs. I think we might have listened to it on another program or something. And
Wolf like a wolf.
Wolf, yeah. And so
she's awesome.
Yeah, the song's got everything.
She's like 3,000 followers.
You got to listen.
Wow, really? Early, you get in at the ground floor here.
That's
we'll
a great
even,
feeling.
We'll throw a... I'll have a song of your choice that ends this episode.
Perfect.
Now we can get into our list. The top 10 coolest jobs.
Cool.
Coolest professions.
Top 10 best professions.
Best. We'll go round table. I'll say my 10. Someone says their 10. You say your 10.
Cool.
We'll just have a little kickback about this. This is, you know... The tension is not high. The tensions are low. This is
okay. Although the spy thing almost set me off. But
let's start. Can we start with spy, or are we gonna? Because I had,
spy
I did have spy.
One. I
in,
said spy
on one
is
of
the
my...
coolest thing you could do. I mean, we could start by talking about that. Caleb,
yeah, sure.
To talk
easy
about
to get killed. Can't tell anyone about it. So
that was the thing when I was making my list that I was like, I don't know what's the criteria for this, because I was thinking like, if I was like, oh, what do you do for a living? And someone told me, that was kind of the criteria I was using of me being like, whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah.
But spy is still my number one because I'm like, I don't know.
Someone says spy, you're like, you're terrible at your job, dude.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't want to say it. But like if I could just be like one of those guys that's in the know, like, oh, I know that guy. But like I don't tell anyone either. There's
well,
nothing cooler. And I said bonus points if you're a double agent. If you're a spy and someone else thinks you're a spy for them, but really you're spying on them.
Yeah.
But that's lying.
But it's lying in the coolest way. It's
that is true.
It's lying for something you believe in.
But yes. Well, also just like
stand for something or lie for something.
If you can't tell people about it, it at least has to affect how you walk around. Like walk around knowing like I'm a spy. You must have a fucking strut. Like just the way your dick feels in your pants must be incredible. Just being like, yeah, I'm a spy. I could karate chop this guy in his neck and he'd fall asleep right away. I have a bank vault with fucking lots of bills from different countries and multiple passports and fucking I have an assignment that's coming to me through some sunglasses. Like that shit is next level to just know about yourself.
Oh, here's my magnifying glass.
Wait,
no,
it's not a gun.
Detective. It's not, I'm not talking
Sherlock
Holmes. I'm talking James Bond. I'm talking like always the most dangerous guy in the room.
Well, you don't think James Bond needs to look at things up close?
He's using a magnifying glass.
Come on, Robbie.
Come on, bro.
I think if you took all of the spies in the world right now, all of the real spies in the world right now, it's been years since any of them used a magnifying glass.
Bro, do you think that spies these days are just hackers, though? Like, do you think that spy? There's people who are really just walking around tailing people anymore?
I bet there are.
Tailing?
I bet you've been spied on. Not like we got to see what Roan's doing. Like, Roan's in association with some guy who's in association with some guy. You were the guy that led him to the guy that led him to the guy.
Yeah. I had someone who made me think that they were – who led me to believe that they were – like, that they could do some spy shit, gather intel. You know who I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So there – and I tried to enlist him for one time for something – and he got me nothing.
I didn't say shitty spies, though. I just said spies.
But I mean, like...
And let me use this as a jumping off point to my number 10 as well, because we talked about not being allowed to talk about it. Number 10, I just wrote, not allowed to talk about it. Any job where you're like, what do you do for a living? And the guy responds, I can't talk about it.
Yeah. I'm in business for myself.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That's next true. Level. Next that's level. True. Yeah, that is badass. I think there might be some on my
we
list.
Can,
that
we
you
can go back to the, we can go back to Spy if you think of anything else on that.
What so, do you mean?
I mean, like if
Spy's
if
on
done,
my list too.
You weren't
so.
Done shitting on my Spy.
No, I just thought for the when you say Spy, I think can't tell anybody about it, which like that sucks.
That
and then all suck. You can't talk about your
but
job,
you know how
and then
cool
also you also can just get murdered at any time,
and no one would even like mourn you. They'd be like, "Oh yeah, he had an accident on the oil rig." You wind up looking like a buffoon in death yeah. because no one could tell like what really happened.
But there is a team that knows you're a spy, definitely, right? Like any like James Bond has M, like Ethan Hawke from your Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible has like his squad.
Yeah,
like you're cool among them.
But but those people can't
even
mourn
you
when you
envelope
die.
And they're like, here you go. Yeah. They're like, all right.
Or it would be cool to say like a sentence to someone who in like a dark alley and they know what your nonsense sentence means and they say some nonsense back and you just like go with them.
Yeah, but you've got with people in an empty parking garage for
listen,
them to give you intel.
Think about your lifestyle. You have to be consistently suspicious of everyone around you. Think about how bad that would
yeah.
suck.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking we're having a good though. Conversation, if you're a spy, your mind's automatically going yeah, to what's true. Going on right now? What's going on
true.
Right now? How am I going to get murdered?
True.
It's going to happen. Spy's not on the list. For me. I put a bunch of different ones that are for different reasons.
So do all right, yeah.
You know what
there's
I'm saying?
A lot of
like,
variety, yeah.
There's a lot of variety what makes something cool. I said I'll give you two because these are two different ways you look at it. One, what is like the coolest thing you can do as a like I'm thinking about, like, as a person, you would just feel so wholesome and awesome and cool and everyone loves you and you're just giving back and you're hitting it on all cylinders if you're a cool teacher that everyone loves.
You think that's a cool-ass job, a teacher?
I think that if you're, like, that teacher that everyone goes back to high school, they remember that teacher, they think they're awesome, you inspired people, they made them think that, you know, you made them think that school was cool. Maybe you're a coach too, and you're just like an inspirational leader for young people. I think that's pretty cool. I think you would feel pretty good about it if that's what you were.
Yeah, like you're feeling really like just comfortable with what you did with your life,
yeah.
and you're just like, you know what? I really am making a difference in the world.
You sit on your deathbed, and you're like, that was cool. That was a great life. Right. Not a bad teacher. I don't mean just being a random teacher. I don't want the teacher everyone hates. I mean, you got to be the cool teacher. You got to be the one that people talk
changed
about.
Some lives, maybe saved a life.
Yeah.
Like took in a student or like gave them some like free like or like sneakers when like times were tough or something mm-hmm. like that, but you didn't tell anybody, mm-hmm. you just know. But at the same time, the drawback of that, if we're poking holes in some of them, like the spy thing, the pay kind of sucks for teachers, bro. Teachers
yeah.
are out here getting shafted.
But if you're on your wholesome grind, what do you need the money for?
The living. Teachers don't get paid that much money.
Yeah, but let me tell you something else. They don't work the whole year.
Fact.
Summer off.
They work like for 6 months.
That is a huge thing. You just have
pretty
summers
cool.
off,
also have
holidays
summers
off.
Off. Yeah.
You're done by 3 o'clock every day.
I mean, the guy like
they
you
don't
know
work
you could
that
call
much.
Your boy and guarantee that he's free in the summer. Like
yeah.
that's pretty cool too.
But I mean, being that teacher that goes above and beyond, that's probably a little bit of extra work. And also,
you can make say
grading homework stinks.
Say
stinks.
But you're cool. You don't even assign homework. If you're making $50,000 a year,
this is a very specific teacher,
dude. If you're
that
making,
you're talking about
yes, but if you're making $50,000 a year and you're only working where they work probably 8 months, and they only
probably
work
9 months.
About half the day, if you really did the math on that, they really are making like 80-85 grand.
Yes,
and
yeah.
if you're living in or not New York City, that's pretty good.
I actually thought about teachers when I was making my list. I was like, teacher is like you said, kind of a wholesome answer and all that. And then eventually I was like, nah, it's not fucking cool.
But let me go the other way. Let me go the other way with it, because this is just something that you could tell somebody and it'd be automatically director.
Mm, definitely.
What do you do? I'm a director, film director.
So cool.
What films? Oh, you ever watch the Oscars? Those ones.
Film director, super cool. I thought about actor and all that. Anything where you could like, you're an artist in some way, and that is your full-time job of, like, literally, if you're an artist, if you're a painter, something like that, if you're an actor, if you're anything, a musician, stuff like that. We might get to some of these later on some of our lists.
Right.
Completely agree. Directors, one of the coolest things in the world.
The one at the top of my list, an NFL quarterback. Just being a quarterback in the NFL, like, you're the man. There's only
– or at least a city, yeah.
there's only 32 of your job, which is pretty fucking crazy. Like, that's a really low percentage of people that do your job, and you're just the man. Like, on so many levels, men want to be you, women want to be with you. You can put the city on your back. If you're the quarterback that wins a championship, of course, there's a ton of criticism that comes with it, and even more hard work. You have to win the genetic lottery. You have to be in the exact right circumstance. A lot of stars have to align for that to go right, but if you have that job, it's fucking cool. Like, that is a cool ass job. You're probably in a, you're, there's no way that you're not getting paid an insane amount of money. You can go anywhere, do anything, and a lot of the time you could be just like a low-key person if you don't want to be in the spotlight, but as an NFL quarterback, that's like a pretty badass job.
You could also make a very strong argument that if you're an NFL quarterback, you're the best at your job in out of every single job. So, for example, the pool of kids that are 8 years old, if you ask them what they want to be, you're going to get either NFL quarterback or firefighter or something else, right?
Or president, yeah.
But you can, at 8 years old, begin to hone your craft of being an NFL quarterback. You can start throwing in the yard. You can start playing. And at that point, you begin your practice. You begin your, as Malcolm Gladwell would say, 10,000 hours, right? You can't do it for firefighter, and you can't do it for president. And those two people, they're going to change their minds. But if you're good enough, they are, they will. But if you're good enough at 10 years old, you might be the quarterback of your local team, and you can keep your dream alive. And then by the time you're 18 years old, you're still in high school. You've already worked 10 years on your job and honing your skill. Then you go to college, and you surround yourself with the best people who know the most about your skill, and they teach you more about it, and you get four more years of tutelage. So then you're really looking at 14 to 15 years of working on your craft before you even become an NFL quarterback.
Before you get the job.
So, right. So you become one of 32, but you've been working on that. So say, for example, there's, I don't know, small. I mean, how many sommeliers are there? There's more than 32. There's...
Oh, like master sommeliers, yeah, like the top notch. I think there might be like 50 some people who are like the masters.
Right.
Of wine.
So even them, so you could say they have like one of the most crazy skill sets. They haven't been able to work on that for the same amount of time as an NFL quarterback has worked on his skills. So you can make a real argument that you are the best at your job that anyone else is at their job. You have the best mastery of the skill.
And the talent pool is so big. Everybody wants to be a quarterback. You know what I mean?
It's even more competitive, exactly.
Really, that goes for a lot of sports, though, and a lot of positions, right? Or would you say quarterback is different?
I would say that quarterback, when you're a little kid, that's the number one. Even if you ask like a basketball player.
Oh, you're saying
player.
Based on like pure like mass of people that want to be.
I'm saying if you look at a pool of, let's say, a million people of little boys, I would say that at some point...
You shouldn't be looking at a pool of a million little boys.
And that's a good point.
Yeah. Unless you're playing quarterback at Penn State.
I would say at every single thing, if you like polled them, the number one thing they would say they want to be at that age, that little age, would be a quarterback in the NFL. And then it would be like point guard in the NBA, and then it might be firefighter, and then it might be president.
All right.
They start it. It's competitive.
My number nine, I have to clarify and say that...
Oh, you're going down the list.
Yeah, well, yeah. This is just a kind of a
I like it. You go down, I'll go
list,
up.
The list is just 10 cool jobs, all right? A good hitman.
Mm.
Like, he only works for good, you know, and he kills bad people, kind of like the Equalizer or Dexter or one of those people.
Right, right, right.
I don't want innocent people getting murdered. I'm not a savage. I'm not a psychopath. But if you're a good hitman, and it's like, what does Bob do? And it's like, oh, if you need someone killed, he's your guy.
Do you think that would get around, though? Do you think that is a hitman similar to being a spy or CIA?
A hitman is similar to being a spy, but spies, you know, you don't have to kill people. Spies could go in, get some intel, come out. You're a spy. Hitman, I'm saying, you're just killing people.
So let me Deadshot. Let me up your ante here.
All right.
Why not just be a Navy SEAL?
Also cool, but there's a lot more Navy SEALs than there are hitmen, I would imagine.
But it's probably the same training, though.
Navy SEAL would definitely
Navy
make
SEAL.
List.
You can tell
if you're
people
like,
about
what you do, and it's like I'm a Navy SEAL. Yeah, true. You know what? Navy SEAL. You're
Navy
right.
SEAL is like
That's
kind of the same thing, but it's you can tell people that you're a Navy SEAL. You can wear it as a badge of honor for your country.
You're a veteran, yeah,
and you are a badass.
And it's not illegal.
And it's not
you're
illegal.
Not really risking anything. Right. Well, you're risking your life.
Your life,
but it's like you're killing people. You're just a hitman in different countries. You're a government-sanctioned hitman.
Correct, which was kind of what I was thinking, but then I was like, maybe the government's up to some shady shit sometimes, so I was like, just a good hitman. I was thinking of Deadshot from Batman, who's a villain.
That's badass, though. But, like, yeah, Green Beret, something like that, or even, like, I don't know the classifications of, like, the units that are the most badass ones,
yeah.
But there's just probably some units that are just, like, you know these guys are badass.
Well, me and Rome, we went down to Clemson for this Natty Light event. They just had us down there for the weekend, and we just did a bunch of different little things. And one of the events they had for us was a helicopter ride.
I saw that.
And our captain was a former... not Navy SEAL, he's a former Special Forces, which is the Army version of Navy SEALs. And he first of all, he's jacked. He's like 6'4", absolutely jacked, tatted. He just had this crazy aura of just like the confidence of a man who killed 100 people. And just like laughing, nice, just booming testosterone. I think he was like worth probably like $100 million because he owned...
Wait, so this guy was a civilian, and he was the helicopter pilot who owned the helicopters that these Special Force guys jumped out of. The guy with the big chest, I think, he was never active military, but we were among all the guys who were active military. And remember, he was telling stories about the one guy who jumped out of the plane.
Oh, I think this guy was active military, 100%.
Okay, I thought they said, well, then that might be my mistake. But he was talking about one of the other guys who jumped out of the planes, and he was like, this guy has been shot 16 times. One time it happened in the United States where two guys in South Carolina tried to kill him at his own home because he's been killing and arresting these drug lords. They said they dropped him off, and he went on a two-day hike and just had one shot of a drug lord in their drug den. And it was a movie. It was a full-on movie, cool. What they were telling us about.
So yeah. Cool.
This guy was, I talked to him, so he was in the Special Forces, but he...
And that's on me.
He told another story about the same guy. He was about to do a jump from the helicopter, like a parachute jump, and he was sleeping in the back. They had to wake him up, and he just rolled out. Like, that's where his adrenaline is
so
at.
So calm.
Oh, my God.
In the moment. Like, that would be the biggest moment of my life.
Would you guys ever skydive?
We talked about this because we almost did.
I would never do it.
You would never do it?
No, I talked to Donnie about it. You know, Chef Donnie, he's been, like, actually skydiving. He's got his license and all that. And I said before I knew this I would never do it. I'm a real pussy when it comes to that kind of stuff. But he was like, oh, yeah, everything could go perfectly right. You could do everything right, and you could still just die. He's like, the parachute might just not work or something. And I was like, yeah, so no, I'll never do that.
I have no intention to do that. Maybe I'll get thrown into a deep depression later on in my life where I'll need to jog it out of me with a skydive.
That's what I said. I said I'll save that.
I guess never say never.
I'll save that moment for middle-aged need it moment.
Yeah. You guys got more professions for me?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So CIA agent spy was one on my list. Well, we've already gone through that a little bit. Another one on my list, a painter. Think about the freedom of your life if you can make your job painting. You have nothing that's really holding you down. You don't have to be anywhere at any time in the morning. You don't have to go anywhere. And you make the taste of what cool art is in your own mind. And so you just have to dump your brain out onto a canvas. If you're already successful, obviously a lot of painters aren't appreciated until after they're gone. But just the lifestyle, like the roving artistic lifestyle, and just kind of you have a leg up on everybody and almost an understanding at a different level than other people. If you're just like painting and being like, oh, yes, this is supposed to mean this. And like you just don't get that. Like you don't understand what I meant by this piece of art. There's like it's a freedom, but also a purposeful driving that you have if you're a painter, professional painter.
Completely agreed. You always got like easels and stuff laying around.
Big warehouse or some shit.
You literally can put up art in your house. Like probably you don't put up your own paintings. You're probably too cool to do that. You put up your idol's paintings and you have awesome taste in them. Like you could always make the room look exactly the way you want it to look. How about the guy that did the mural, the Moon Man Sam guy? Cool guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's a painter.
And there are. I know that it's more likely to die before you become rich, but there are people who are alive who are making millions.
And maybe you even get
Jeff Koons. Did you watch that documentary?
Yes, Jeff Koons is he doesn't even he's like a CEO painter. He doesn't even paint his own paintings.
The guy that does the big balloon dogs. I talked to Joseph Benavidez, a UFC fighter, about him like right before we did a podcast, and I need to see this documentary because the way he described it, like you said, is like this guy basically just tells people what to do and they do it. Like he did the big thing with the sphere in front of other paintings and like the Mona Lisa.
He's a big pop art guy.
He's making so much money, like unbelievable money, hundreds of millions of dollars.
crazy. Super cool. You also maybe get people thinking that you're smarter than you are, like you said, or more like complex than you are. You draw something stupid and abstract thing, and you're like, what do you think? And people start dissecting it like it's the Sistine Chapel.
Have you guys ever tried to do an abstract painting?
I'm sure in like art class or something, but never like myself. I want to sit down and do this.
Mm-mm. My boy used to buy canvases, and like one time I was like, man, like, and he would just do abstract paintings. He had no, I don't want to say he had no painting talent, but he wasn't painting anything that looked like anything. He was just smacking paint on paper, and or like huge drawn out fucking 3-foot by 5-foot canvases. And one time I was like, you know what, I'm gonna give this shit a shot, like maybe I'm good at painting. And I smacked some paint on the page, and we both stood back and it was like, dude, this looks pretty good so far, like this is like I might be onto something. And then I put some more paint on the page and it ruined everything immediately. So there is like, I learned by that there is some type of like strategy to making shit look good. You can't just be like Jackson Pollock, like a lot of people's ideas that he's just whipping a paintbrush at a fucking. But I think that there is some strategy to it. There's some skill to it, and I think that that would be a pretty cool profession.
There has to be another artistic profession I have next on my list: a special effects makeup artist.
Oh shit!
I get
that's a Robbie Fox special.
I go down these.
That's something I would never think of
all the time. Yeah. When you look at like Greg Nicotero from The Walking Dead, like the people that could do the stuff that blows your mind. You see it on Instagram or whatever, the, you know, the zippered off face or something, or a zombie or a monster of some sort. Always so cool. The girls that can make themselves look like Jack Sparrow just by putting on like a layer of fucking concealer or whatever. I don't know if that's the kind of makeup you put on to do that. But I think special effects makeup artists are awesome. And if I was with someone and I was like, oh, what do you do? And they were like, oh, I do the ogres on Game of Thrones. I'm a special effects artist. So cool.
Yeah.
I think that that's like something that's like a goal that people have. Like even a young girl might get into makeup and be like, I want to do makeup for famous people someday or something. And this is even like the more artistic on 10 version of that. Like I'm going to do makeup so cool that it looks like you have a bullet hole in your head.
Yes. Or like you ever see the girl who does like a bunch of eyes and lips that in makeup on her face, and it just looks like her face is like an optical illusion.
Are there a lot of dudes in that field?
I have no idea.
Dude,
I have,
stand
I know,
up to
I know
get some
pretty
men
much
in that field.
Nothing about special effects makeup other than it's awesome.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I can't argue with you at all. All
right.
Yeah.
What do you guys got?
What about DJ? And I know this sounds obvious, but think about it like this. You tour. You're a musician. But what's the worst part about being a musician?
Coming up with the shit.
Well.
Writing music, yeah.
Write music and also having to perform. You know, as the pop punk lead, your voice is always going bad. The nights of your show, you guys are nervous. We're all having a good time, right?
Totally.
We're all drinking backstage, and you guys are like kind of on edge. And then after the show's over, you guys are kind of like you have the maybe a higher high than everyone else, but you're still
exhausted. Though we're
exhausted.
Not like going out
like
and having the same.
Yeah.
If you're a DJ, say I'm gonna give these DJs that I'm talking about the benefit of the doubt. They are making their own music. Right, but you still go play other people's, and then you play some of your own.
Totally.
But on a night of a show, you travel to whatever the location is, some exotic
Prague.
Location, and you just got to go.
It's a good DJ location.
And you go at 10 o'clock at night, and you go to the fanciest restaurant in the city, and you eat from 10 to 11, and then you make your way. You have some handler, some nightlife handler who's just giving you whatever you want. And then you go backstage and you have a group of, if you're into it, the hottest girls or whatever. And then you kind of just hang out, meet everybody. You start drinking. You get drunk for your own show. And then you go out there and then everyone is worshiping you like you're John Mayer playing the guitar. But you are literally doing nothing.
You're shit-faced and you're twisting screws.
And you're twisting screws. You already did your whole set. And I have friends who are DJs, and they're going to say that this is not true. This is 100% true. The set's done in advance.
Yeah.
And then you just go out there, you play it, you have a rock star time, and then you come on back, and you just did all the good parts of being a musician without any of the bad parts. And you still, I'm not going to say you're someone that's like, you don't make your own music, so you're a wannabe. You really do produce and you make your own music. No one can even say anything to you.
It's true. The thing I thought about right away when you started talking about that is I always get nervous on stage. Roan knows this with Pop Punk, that like, what if halfway through our set, I get a stomachache and I have to shit? Like, what happens?
If you're a DJ, you just go shit.
If you're a DJ, yeah, you just
the show
shit.
Goes on.
No, show goes on.
Literally, nobody notices that you are gone. Literally.
Robbie just ran off stage holding his butt.
Now say this. Yeah. One of the worst things you could do, I think, is have to be like Marshmello. and have to wear that head all the
but
time
and
the outfit.
You get to go out on the street and be a regular person after that. Marshmello, I feel like, has it better than the DJs that are in the limelight and have all that. Marshmello, like Deadmau5 kind of has best of both worlds. People know what his face looks like. People know what his mask looks like.
Yeah, but don't you think he just gets tired of wearing that outfit?
No, I don't think so.
I think at some level you have to be like, motherfucking put the mask on again. Another day.
If people treat you like you're a mascot from Disney World,
they punch your dick and shit off. I think it's worth the trade-off of people not knowing it's you.
No, that could be a very sweet...
But DJs, everything you said just made it sound so cool. I always looked at DJs as super lame.
Yeah, but their lives are awesome.
Press and play. I guess their lives are
awesome. And to them, it's not lame.
True.
To them, it's the coolest thing ever.
It's true.
And I think there is real like mastery and skill to it. Like if you go watch, for example, Marshmello, his show is unreal.
Totally.
He's so good. I'm sure Carter Cruz is.
She's an awesome DJ.
Yeah,
I'm sure she is. And you can go see some bad DJs too. So I think that you could actually have the skill. And yeah.
Dude, DJ, have you ever seen a DJ battle? It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. When
How do they actually
have the vinyls and they're scratching.
They're
talking?
Scratching and shit.
That's really cool.
And they're like flipping. Like there was this fucking dude that used to DJ battle at Scribble Jam, and he would wear a fucking like a mullet and no shirt, and he would just do like one time he played like two records, and that people were just like, "Oh, these two records are cool." But then he found the perfect part on each record and scratched it, and it goes. And people
about.
Go crazy,
this,
and it was
this
like
this is one of the best videos on the internet.
Scratch Bastard,
we're talking way old school. Like
Scratch Bastard is his name, bro. Yeah. This shit is incredible.
I remember my brother showing that to me, like one of the first YouTube videos he ever showed me. I think it was.
I
like
still
a,
go back to it all.
It was
the
like
time.
A rollerblader getting hit in the nuts, and that video.
I want to see this video so bad.
It's so fucking cool. I got on my list a fictional job while Roan's looking for this. Hand to the King. I don't think that's a real job, but I think it's cool.
What is it?
Oh, you're out of your mind.
What, so is Hand to the King like in Coming to America, Wesley Snipes' character, when he's like he has to tend to the king at all times, and he's just like right there.
I guess
I don't want to say the B word on your podcast, but you're a bitch.
Oh, come on, no. Tyrion, when they fucking give him the pin, like whenever someone got the pin in Game of Thrones, it was so cool. It's like, oh fuck, and it's like you're really doing the shit, but someone else is getting credit for it. But
it's not even a credit thing. You have to listen. You're taking orders. Like you're the. It was like you know.
Like
I tell
protected.
Everyone
you're the right hand man.
Okay, you're protected, but there are negatives to being Frankie Borelli.
Definitely.
Okay, that's the hand to the king at Barstool, right?
But I'm not talking
There's
about
a,
the king,
I would,
Dave Portnoy.
I know, but I'm just saying
king.
To bring it into so we can use examples. Right. There's some real negatives there, aren't there? You always got to be on call
when
every
like
weekend.
That, yeah.
Anything Dave wants. If he gets, if he wants to yell, he's yelling at you. If he wants to
being like,
well, what about like
more like I'm thinking like more like being someone's turtle to Vinny Chase.
Well, what about a
like
consigliere?
Like an awesome person.
That's not awesome.
Right-hand
and
man.
Honestly, if you listen to Caller Daddy, which I did,
oh,
they had
Jesus,
an episode
about
this.
About that.
No, they had a good episode about this.
About being the hand to the king.
Yeah, it's they called it in their mind, which would show you like how a female would look at it, a leech.
In The Godfather, Tom Hagen's character, maybe something like that. That's a pretty cool job. The consigliere, so he's never getting yelled at by the mob boss, but he's in every conversation. He's not getting embarrassed or dressed down. He just knows how to handle the business of the king.
Yes.
I feel like that's like, because like, I mean, I guess, well, the, I mean, mob boss is one of the things on my list, so I think I would just rather be the boss who has the guy.
Yeah, hey.
King is a cool job.
King.
But king is like, I thought about that too, and it's like, you don't want to deal with all that shit. You don't want to deal with the stress. You don't want to deal with the people that want you assassinated. You don't want to deal with half the country hating you.
Wait, that's a war-torn king. What about
the
king of Sweden right now? Like, countries have kings right now, and they're just chilling.
Probably sweet.
Or like the fucking prince.
Spain.
Yeah, Spain. Like, what about the prince of England? Cool job.
I think president of the United States, I'll take half the country hating me. That means you got half the country who loves you.
But, like, you look at the – if you're in office for, let's say, 2 terms, like, you look like an old man by the time you get out of there. You got gray hair. You probably don't even have long hair. Probably 4 years in, you're like, fuck it. I'm done with it.
Imagine, dude, you live one life. the life experiences that you would have in those 8 years, don't you think it's worth it to take some grays? Even to say being the president of the United States takes 10 years off your life. Wouldn't you rather be the president of the United States and live to 60 than be a random ass person and be 70? Yeah, think about the stories, the things they know, the people they've met, the places they've gone, the aliens they know about.
That's another thing. Knowing about all this shit, like if you're president, you're like, all right, let's dive into the JFK file.
Hey, let's be honest. When a president's done, everyone loves him. Yeah. When Trump's done, people will probably love him. Everyone.
He'll be like a comical character.
People will be like, oh, Trump.
Oh, there he
goes. Can you believe
again.
We did that?
I remember how bad people hated George W. Bush. Yeah. I remember. And then this weekend, he's with Ellen, and it's like he's like a national hero.
Yeah.
He paints and shit.
Yeah.
To go into like the having the knowledge that other people don't have or being able to figure shit out that other people can't. A theoretical physicist. If you just love physics and you can like figure out what's going on in the universe, or you have theories about like the universe, where things might go, ways to like create things, or like there's a guy who won the Nobel Prize the other day for his work with dark matter, and he was like one of the first people that found out about like the universe expanding. Like he was on the ground floor of that shit. To be able to find out that the universe is expanding, to be able to have that capacity and intellectual curiosity to find that shit out and to be one of the people that's like, well, because of this, the entire universe is expanding.
Or I'll go the opposite direction with it. Be a Gronk brain. If you're just a person with like a puppy dog brain.
With so much ignorance.
And every moment is a new moment. You're just like... And you're just having a great time at all times, no matter what's happening.
Someone fucking tells you, like, the universe is expanding. And you're like, cool, throw me the football.
You're like, cool, dude.
Like, you don't even really care about that.
Everyone
kind of
loves
stuff.
You because you're just, like, easy to be around. There's no judgment. Yeah. I would die to be a Gronk brain.
Who's the most Gronk brain-esque at Barstool, do you think? I think about this sometimes. YP sometimes gets into that. Gets into
that's
that
so
Gronk
interesting.
Brain. Yeah, where, like, the other day, like, I mimicked that I was going to, like, go to take him down, and he dropped everything he had and grabbed me as tight and violent as he possibly could have.
Well, he just loves wrestling.
And I was like, dude, I'm not actually wrestling. And he goes, well, you shouldn't have fucking did that. Like, pissed. And the other day, I was in the stall pissing, and he was in the urinal pissing. And he fucking like wadded up a wet wad of paper towels. And he said, I remember when we used to do this in high school. And he whipped it over the stall door as hard as he could. And it like slammed against the wall. And I was like, dude, what the fuck? And I left the stall. And he goes, what, you're giving up? And I was like, yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. So I would say YP.
He nerds out over being a bully.
Definitely. He loves it. He's like, remember when we fucking used to do this? Like, it was awesome.
That's hilarious. That's so funny. I have more on the list. If I could keep whipping through. I also have the Scratch Bastard clip.
What do we got on time over there, by the way? You guys good?
Let's go 10 more minutes.
Yeah,
let's go. Let's go 10 more minutes. Yeah. Dude, one I think is that's just funny is being in beverage sales. Like people who are being in beverage sales.
Axelrod.
Like Axelrod.
I mean, that guy's super cool. Yeah, you're right.
Or like some being like high up in like
Coca-Cola?
Yeah, or no, like alcohol beverage sales, like Anheuser-Busch or something like that. You're always going to events where you can party. There's so much money around. You're always in the suite. You're always – it's like low pressure situation. Like you're selling something that – everyone wants to buy. Like, everyone wants booze. Like, this is the easiest shit to sell. Shit has to be flying off the shelves. All you have to do is design a fun time around it or have fun or be fun. And I feel like people who are in beverage sales, I see them all the time just like they're the people who are out of the bar getting fucked up. Like, they're the people out there just living a life on the edge. Beverage sales.
Just have tabs everywhere.
Tabs. Opening up tabs, bro. Just, drink on my tab.
Cards, yeah.
Just.
I remember when we went to the Masters. That's who we got our passes from. It was like someone that worked for an alcohol company. They were like, "Oh yeah, we gotta like hit up the alcohol company. They have infinite passes, as many as they need to Augusta, the most exclusive place in the world."
Yeah, I mean, and the only one that I know is the one that you guys know too is Axelrod. He has like a he just has like a it's an aura of someone who doesn't have anything like bad going on.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't have, like, super – what's the most stressful thing that's going to happen to you?
Like, yeah, someone
what's the worst thing that can happen
alcohol?
To you?
Someone orders another brand of alcohol than your brand that you're trying to sell.
Yeah, and actually we have been in situations like that where, like, you're at, like, a –
oh, yeah.
Big Ev did it. Big Ev did it to Natty Light. He's at a Natty Light thing. I ordered a, what did he get? A Coors Light or something?
At dinner. And they didn't pay for the dinner. Man. They're like, fuck you. You got to pay for the dinner.
We asked you
now.
One thing. We had to do one thing.
They have like Natty shirts and hats on. And he's like, I'll do a Coors Light.
I got one here.
Taste the Rockies.
Whoever's trying to bring dinosaurs back. Jurassic Park style. You know there's someone in the world right now where their exclusive job is let's look into dinosaurs, and you know on the DL, they're like, how can I bring these motherfuckers back?
So a crazy person. Like what?
But
like
are they crazy? A flat earther? Do they have information where they're like, we can extract some blood from a mosquito, and this can happen?
Jurassic Park. So the guy, the scientist from Jurassic Park.
If your job every day, you're dealing with dinosaurs, you're thinking about dinosaurs, I think that's pretty cool.
So who did you admire? When you watched Jurassic Park, you admired the scientists in the lab? You didn't admire the person who was like, this is a bad idea.
I didn't admire them. Definitely, it's proven to be a bad idea. But if you're on the ground floor, like you said, knowing things people don't know about dinosaurs, even if you know like how they went extinct and it's like we can't tell the people, maybe you have some alien knowledge, maybe you have some other things. Yeah. I think if your day-to-day job is with dinosaurs, it's pretty cool.
What if you're – this is a new one that just came to my mind, but it would be awesome. You're the alpha of a tribe in like the Trobian Islands where everything is still hunter-gatherer. So you're basically like a king except for – you're living out life like kind of like how we're designed to do it. So like all the like anxieties we have and all the kind of the negative things that we deal with on a day to day. Now this is Tropian Islands. I'm not talking about somewhere where they're looking for food and they might not get, they're going to die out. This is just, they got the water. They know how to fish. They're not worrying about food. There's no other tribes.
There's no other tribes
and you're the alpha. So you're the king of that. You don't have the anxieties of daily life in New York City. You're not on social media. You don't have to go on the subway. You're just literally everything you do is like fulfilling you, and you just
probably
feel
eating fucking
yes,
just enjoying the hell out of your life.
Yep,
sounds incredible.
If you're the king, you're probably you don't have to fish anymore. People bring you fish every morning. They have something for you for lunch. You probably have like chefs in the tribe.
You're the alpha, so you have like tons of kids.
Totally,
but you don't really have to take care of them because you're just responsible for like not that it's not good to take care of your kids, but you just do like kind of what you're designed to do.
Yeah.
You just do like how it's supposed to be almost.
I think that's a great answer. You got another one, Rob?
I have a bunch more. Mob Boss was one of mine.
Mob Boss.
Being a mob boss has to be fucking incredible.
Super cool. My grandfather, I've never told this story in the podcast, super Italian, my mom's side of the family. Every time he would take the kids to Hoboken, would have to like drop them off with our nanny, like my kind of great grandmother, would drop the kids off there and then go pay his respects to the mob boss in Hoboken.
Kiss the ring.
Literally, just nice to see you. Because if the mob boss heard him, like, you know, Maddie was in Hoboken without saying hello, see ya.
That might be annoying, honestly, though.
Like everybody's coming by
every time
you're
in town, yeah. Someone's just got to – but it's like you're kind of like everyone's a beta compared to you.
Yeah. Oh, you know how to schmooze and you know how to, like, get a box of cookies that, like, means something or whatever. Like, yeah. There's a lot of deep shit. Soccer player, like, in Europe – championship boxer. Good.
Especially if you got like a neck tattoo, like the soccer players that
I was going to say,
shit.
Best athlete was going to be NBA player, but I think being a European soccer player is better.
Right. Yeah. Born in Brazil. Maybe you came out of like the fucking hood in Brazil.
But then
you're in Barcelona.
True.
That's true. But like
a game, your head's on a stick.
Ronaldo's life or like Lionel Messi's life. Incredible.
Yeah.
All the money in the world.
Eventually they'll come back to you and get the taxes, but
they'll get the taxes for sure. But like there's just so much fucking money going around. You're more beloved on a global scale than any other athlete, really. I mean, boxers like Manny Pacquiao would be incredible.
That, like,
championship
heavyweight boxer.
Like
if you're the heavyweight champ of the world, awesome. But I was like, I don't know.
Your brain scrambled.
Yeah. I have a couple more. So skateboarder. Obviously, if you're
that's
a skateboarder,
so sick. Yeah, I didn't
if
think about
you're
that.
In the X Games.
Yeah, Coley
was the coolest people.
Was surfer. I think that's
yeah. Coley said surfer. Same thing. Extreme, kind of those extreme sports that are always associated with like punk rock music. Super cool. Astronaut. If you're going to space, if you're really like you've been there.
Yeah,
cool.
That's dumb. That's incredible. I
wouldn't want to be one.
No,
space
I wouldn't either
terrifies.
Though. That's what I'm thinking about. And it's not even that scary. It's just like almost like the things that you'd have to do to get to that point. I feel like are.
Horrible.
You could go through some horrible things.
But once you're like, I'm back, pretty cool welcome home. When you're like, where were you?
Yeah, space. Yeah.
Buzz Aldrin just plays forever too. Like he could go anywhere.
Definitely. There's that video of Buzz Aldrin punching the dude in the face. Classic.
Because he's like, you have to be like in pretty good shape to be an astronaut. Like you, he at some point was a badass for sure. I just want to rattle through the rest of these just to get them out of my brain. Stand-up comedian would be a lot of fun. Guitar player, just being in front of a ton of people.
Yeah, I got
shredding.
Rock star. That was the last one on my list. Just being a rock star. There's not much I need to say about it.
Mayor. Mayor's the perfect one for me because if you're a rock star, it's almost like there's pressure on you to live out some type of life, certain way,
I don't
image.
Think it's pressure, though. I think you just fucking let it happen.
Dude, the
like,
way
if
Mayor
you're a
does
true
it.
Rock star, though, if you're a true rock star, there is no pressure. You just do it. You don't give a fuck about
yeah,
what
yeah, but you also have
thinks.
Half a brain because you did so much drugs and so much alcohol.
Some people, yeah. But that's part of being a rock star, man.
Not Alice Cooper.
Look at like Keith Richards, still kicking, and I'm sure he could have a conversation with you like we're having a conversation right now.
Are you sure?
I'm not that sure. I haven't spoken with
what
him
about
recently.
Mayer, though? Mayer plays in arguably the most famous band of all time or the greatest band of all time. He also does his own stuff. He also does like –
he's a rock star.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, that version.
Okay.
But he's the only one like him. I can't think
that's
of anyone else
like
him.
That's another thing where like people will like get on – I think it was – I said when the Ed Sheeran album came out. Mm-hmm. And he had that song with Chris Stapleton and Bruno Mars. I was just like three rock stars doing their thing. And people got very angry that I called Bruno Mars and Ed Sheeran rock stars. They're completely rock stars in this day and age. Like
yeah.
Tupac and Biggie are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's not like just because of music. It's because of the attitudes.
Yes, rock star.
What about this? Dalai Lama.
I mean, yeah.
You're
I,
2 years
guess.
Old. You're born and they're like, that guy's got it.
Well, I got
but
it.
Again,
I guess
that,
I got it.
That, talk about pressure.
But if you just
is there pressure? I think you're just the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, if
forever,
you just
right?
know you have it, it's just like you just got it. Like why? If someone the whole time was like telling you from and the time you're born, yeah. you got it. It's no pressure. It's just like oh, I'm that dude.
And as far as I know, they've never like picked it wrong. They've never been like oh, we messed up. Like they get it right every time.
Yeah,
like you really do got it. Like you just have the baby aura.
Baby
how do they
aura.
Pick?
Like they're 2 years old. They're like that guy's got it.
Like
it's
this
not,
one, this one
like
might be
a,
the one.
You're a famous person. You're the current Dalai Lama's like son, or they probably can't have kids, right?
I have no idea.
I don't even think
no
they
idea.
Fuck, but it's probably like a council of other like llamas, and they just like look at you and they're like, ah, yes, he will be the Dalai.
They
of
can
the
just
llamas.
Tell like you're a certain. You don't cry that much when they're holding you,
but you have to have a glow and fuck probably up. Pretty handsome,
pretty fucking cool, yeah. pretty fucking. Cool.
My last two on the list, working in Wall Street in the 90s. That shit must have been fucking sweet, dude.
Crazy.
That must have been a fucking fun-ass time. Pinstripe suits, tons of cocaine, fucking money everywhere.
Wall Street-style stuff.
Incredible. Must have been an awesome lifestyle. And finally, working at Barstool Sports is a pretty cool job,
pretty
boys. Let's not
cool.
look a gift horse in the mouth. Our job is pretty good.
And I have one if we weren't humans.
All right.
Thoroughbred. You
stud?
Go, you get to be yeah. You go get to horses. You get to do the athlete thing. You get to be a star athlete, and then the rest of your life. Well, what are you doing? You know,
that's exactly why I had you guys on this podcast because you
a bomb sniffing
like,
dog, yeah. a dog that just gets to sniff bombs. And fucking,
pretty
you have
cool.
a good ass purpose.
Canine, you get to take down criminals.
Yeah, that's probably even
get
better than bomb
unleashed,
sniffing.
You know,
yeah. some bomb
drug
sniffing dogs
sniffing
probably
dogs get, would be like fucking. I smell that loud. Yeah.
And that like they take a little Coke for themselves, the yeah. drug sniffing dog. They're like,
yeah.
fucking
this
do it.
This smells like Coke.
They're like,
yep, definitely
that,
is.
That's for spotting it. Yeah. yeah. Guys, thanks for joining me. We'll have to think of another obscure topic in the future to piss off the chicks in the office.